Good morning. It's such a blessing to see this presentation, and just reminds me of the end vision in Revelation. It's a good way to launch your mission month. Every tribe, every tongue, every nation able to gather around the throne. And of course, being from Wycliffe, this is especially significant to us because we've been working in many languages over many decades, trying to bring the Word of God in a language that speaks to the heart, where they can do theological reflection. So thank you for launching your Missions Month. Thank you for giving me the privilege for being the first one to be able to share the Word. Today we're looking at reaching beyond our comfort zone, Acts chapter 10, verse 1 to 19. As we look at this passage, it's a very significant passage. We can look at the next slide. We will recognize why this passage is very pivotal. You can switch to the next slide, please. Here we can see right from the start God's heart for the Gentiles since ancient times. It's very important to recognize that today we have the privilege celebrating communion, of worship, of fellowship, of knowing His Word in being transformed. It is because God at the outset had a heart for the Gentiles. Though He had set the nation apart, it was always for the purpose, just as He had given the covenant, Abrahamic covenant, that Israel was to bless all nations, that through Israel, the blessing will be released to us. So this passage in Acts is actually very significant because it speaks about that. At the same time, there are a few things we need to note before we just come in to look at the structure of this passage, is that Luke is writing an account, really, of Peter's trip to Cornelius, of the household. Here, we begin to understand that it's a transition. There is a transition happening at Acts chapter 10. And that transition is between Peter, who was basically heading the church, or the Christians among the Jews, and Paul, who was being introduced and brought into salvation in chapter 9. And that is the introduction that there is now a switch of God's heart and mission in the book of Acts from a focus on Jews coming to know the salvation through Christ to now opening it up to the Gentiles. So the transition is quite easily understood when we recognize that Paul is being introduced, chapter 9. Peter starts to fade out. And by chapter 15, 13 to 15, you'll find that it is now emphasizing Paul's ministry to the Gentiles. Now, I know the book of Acts, we normally talk about the Acts of the Apostles, but really the book of Acts is actually the Acts of the Holy Spirit. So this passage is very pivotal, not just to the switch from Jews to Gentiles, but to the ministry of Peter to Paul. So let's recognize that as we go into the structure. You'll find that there are three passages within these 19 verses that will help us to understand the significance of what is happening here. And as Luke wrote this, he wanted to emphasize God's heart for missions right from the Old Testament, those verses that we saw, and many other indication that His Word is for all nations. We now come in to see that in chapter 10, God is pivoting the missions to now go beyond what was understood and owned by the Jewish nation. Now, this transition was really stretching many of the Jewish Christians, those who had come to know the Lord through Peter's ministry and the apostles, to now look beyond what they have been conditioned to accept, which included a lot of Jewish tradition and the law of the Old Testament. So this was a real difficult time for them to go beyond their comfort zone. And today we are looking at how to reach beyond our comfort zone. And so as we go through these three passages, we'll begin to understand the level of transition that needed to take place, not just in terms of preaching to the Gentiles, but the inner workings of the heart and the inner insights of what the gospel is going to be released. And this very significant passages help us to understand the difficulty, the level of difficulty. I want to also apply this eventually to our struggle because of issues in our lives and even with our present situation, global situation with the pandemic, how we are also needing to do this, but in a different way, yes, with different resources, with a different sense of church, with less maybe restrictions of the Old Testament laws. But yet, it's just as difficult, but the principles will apply to us as well, because we are called to be all things to all men. And that calling to be all things to all men requires a transition, a change within our inner workings, not just behavioral changes, but our inner sense of how God sees things and how we are willing to yield to that. So let's look at the first passage, the angelic message to Cornelius. Let's read together, and as we do that, I'll try to give some insights, to give you some background. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day at about 3 in the afternoon, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, "Cornelius." Now Cornelius stared at him in fear. "What is it, Lord?" he asked. The angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa and bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea." When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. We will look specifically at Cornelius, but I want to touch a few things before we look at his background and profile. That here you find that it is an angel. It's not the Lord himself who came to Cornelius. Even though he used the word "sir," it is also because he was trying to play safe, because he wasn't sure if it was God himself who appeared. But when he heard the message of the angel, he recognized it, and scriptures make it clear that it was an angel that the Lord sent to Cornelius. So here you find that it is more the message than the presence of an angel that made the difference to Cornelius' response, his immediate response. So that's very important to understand that. Now, of course, it was something Cornelius has never experienced. So he was definitely, you know, surprised and, you know, kind of shaken. But the way the angel appeared to him was to affirm him that God had seen his devotion. And later we'll get a bit of an idea of what this devotion is. How come, you know, a Gentile is chosen? We will come to that in a while. Now, Joppa is a seaport in the Mediterranean, and the tanneries are normally put near the sea and the water because of the kind of work that needs to be done. A lot of water is used. So it makes sense that they are highlighting that the person that Peter stayed with was a tanner. And I think this helped the men that Cornelius later sent, because I suspect there are many Simons around. In fact, Peter himself is called Simon. So for these men to go and find the right Peter in the right house, and there were many tanners, you know, at Joppa at the time. Now, one other thing to understand is that obviously Cornelius wasn't just a devout person who was seeking Jehovah. You can tell here that here he has, you know, kind of called two of his servants and a devout soldier. It means that his life of devotion wasn't kept to himself. The way he conducted himself affected his subordinates. That his soldier too, there was one that was a devout. In the way that Cornelius sought for truth, so did this man as well. And I think it's very telling here that he has influence, not just in his command and control as a commander. He had influence because of the way he lived his life before God. And I believe this is a hint to us of why he was set apart and selected for this very critical juncture where there's a switch between Peter to Paul. There's a switch from Jews to Gentiles. Let's look at the map. Gives you an idea. Here, I think you can see where Joppa is. It's about 35 miles from Caesarea, where Cornelius' house is. And also, you can see Peter's journey before that. So I want to introduce Peter at this stage, because before the men go to see him, he had actually already started in Jerusalem. This was a circuit he did. You can see the route he took in the end and ended up in Jerusalem. As I think you go through these passages the next few weeks, you'll get to understand this better. And I think you'll see that in Lydia, he had brought people to the Lord when he had prayed for a paralyzed man named Aeneas. And then later in Joppa itself, where Tabitha, he had brought her back to life. And both these places, there were many who were believers. So I believe he stayed in Joppa to disciple them. And it was at this time where God chose to release this fullness of the gospel to open the door to the Gentiles. One more thing that'll be good to understand about Peter, I think we'll come to that in a while, that God did not ignore Peter about the Gentiles, even though the calling was clear to Paul. It was clear to Paul that Paul was meant to be the apostle to the Gentiles. It's very interesting that Peter was given this privilege to open the way to the Gentiles when Paul was already in the picture. Let's go to the next slide. Let's look at Cornelius. Cornelius was from the region of Caesarea, probably the city of Caesarea Maritima. Caesarea was the Roman capital of Judea and the official home of the Roman procurators. So the governor of Judea was actually based in Caesarea. Caesarea is a very important. Those of you, I don't know how many of you have been to Israel. I had the opportunity to visit the ruins in Caesarea. And it was very obviously a very well-built-up capital in the area of Judea that the Romans had built up. Cornelius' military status was a commander of the Italian regiment of 100 Italian soldiers, considered most loyal soldiers of the Roman military. Among all the volunteer people who joined the Roman army, the Italians were known as the most loyal. So he was obviously very devoted in his duty and calling or his life and career as a commander of this. And despite being a Roman, now one of the things you need to understand that because of his devotion to the Romans, it is that much harder for Peter to consider Cornelius because these are the oppressors of the Jews. Okay, so this is one thing to understand, the comfort zone and how he needed to go beyond his comfort zone. This itself is a bit jarring for them. And if you knew the atrocities of the Roman army and how they oppress and control and rule, you'll understand all the things that came into Peter's mind when later he was asked to go visit Cornelius. Now, he was a God-fearing Gentile. Now, there were many people who had admired the Judaism. And even though he was exposed to, you know, Roman gods, he did take on the Jewish faith. Though they, you know, they might have imitated everything, but they were not circumcised. So they took on the concept of God, but they did not necessarily follow the rituals and the customary laws of diet or of circumcision. So they were still considered uncircumcised Gentiles. So it wasn't that he, you know, he is a convert to Judaism. He was a God-fearing Gentile. So that shows you the gap between Cornelius and Peter. Cornelius was probably a worshipper of Jehovah. Though typically he had been exposed to the Roman gods, he seems to have been enlightened by the concepts of Judaism and become devoutly monotheistic, thereby acknowledging Jehovah, and was praying during one of the regular Jewish prayer times, 3 p.m., okay, and the ninth hour of the day. And so he was obviously devoted, though still a Gentile, uncircumcised, and not following Judaism in terms of the rituals and customary practice. Now, let's go to the next slide. We look at Peter. Now, Luke's emphasis on Peter. Peter's name is mentioned in the Gospel of Luke 18 times. Then his name is, and mainly in the Transfiguration and denial. His name is explained in, is mentioned in the book of Acts, actually 55 times, as only in the beginning part of the book of Acts, because of this transition I mentioned from Acts 1 to 12. Peter's change in personality. In the Gospel of Luke, he's seen as impetuous, always asking questions, and he seeks to testify and demonstrate his faith. I think, you know, his bravado is quite obvious. In Acts, there had been a transformation in his personality. If you did, you know, I'm in Promises, which is involved with psychiatry, psychology. We do a lot of psychological profiling, testing. And if you did a test of it, he's actually quite a different person. Here, he was collaborative. He is less of a, you know, speaking on behalf of others. And I think the Council of Antioch is an example of that. And here it demonstrates how he is a relentless leader of the church who is carefully guided through revelation, not through his impetuousness. There's been a change in Peter. Now, Peter's cultural resistance against Gentiles was still there. He still considered himself a Jew, okay? And I think later you'll see this play out in the other epistles. And he still saw things as unlawful. You know this in the passage later when we read, where he said, no, I will not do what is unlawful. So he hadn't shifted, even though he had received the Great Commission in Matthew 28. Go to all nations and make disciples of all nations. He had received it from the Lord, yet he hadn't shifted. So it was hard. He had to go beyond his comfort zone. His inner workings and sense of his identity hadn't shifted because of the way he responded in this passage. One very important thing that is overlooked is the town of Joppa. The town of Joppa is where Jonah went down before he took the ship to Tarshish. Jonah was asked to preach to the Gentiles, Assyrians, brutal people, and very difficult for Jonah to accept. He went down to Joppa, he had received revelation, but he chose to reject. And it took a big fish to bring him to the coast and, you know, many other things to actually get him to obey. Peter, in the same place, Joppa, the Lord used the same place, received a revelation for the Gentiles. Four Roman soldiers to go to a Roman soldier. But the difference is that Peter yielded. So today's focus to me, to go beyond our comfort zone. We could take it and look at it and be so baffled by all the prejudices, issues, difficulties, inadequacies we have when we have to struggle with needing to go beyond our comfort zone, maybe our physical abilities, fear of illness, you know, strength, maybe reaching out to people we find we don't have compassion for, maybe looking to pray or even to seek out ways to reconcile with people who maybe offended us, maybe others who are going through COVID who are struggling. We are so self-absorbed because we are struggling ourselves that we don't want to look beyond because we can't resolve issues in the pandemic. Financial issues, issues with job options, security. Maybe our businesses are failing. We don't have answers. Maybe you're seeing the extent of the plight in the world. Maybe you're an industry that has F&B or aviation where there is no answer. Nobody can give us any assurance. Even the vaccine in Russia, nobody's going to, you know, be sure if it's safe. So we've got no answers. It's a time where we individually will be struggling the way probably Jonah struggled, the way Peter, maybe we are at Joppa, all of us. And to look beyond our comfort zone, we can't do it if we're trying to figure it out and trying to be the kind of person God wants us to be in our own strength or with our own understanding. So it goes back to Proverbs chapter 3. Do not consider with your own understanding. Do not hold to your own understanding. But in all your ways, acknowledge God. He will make your path straight. Things align according to the revelation and the word of God. So this is the thing. And to do that, we sometimes think we have to strive. We need to work out everything in our mind, in our heart. But actually, if you look at this passage, it shows the principle we are to exercise. And I think as we read the passage to come, the next passage where Peter gives us an example of what that means. So let's look at Peter's vision in Acts chapter 10, 9 to 16. You see here, about noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. Now, this is about the time that the Jews normally have a late 11 o'clock. They have two main meals. So 11 o'clock is where they have meal. And often they will have, you know, kind of milk, raisins, and bread, and so on. Now, he was getting hungry because he was still seeking to pray, because his focus was still on the Lord, his devotion to the Lord. But he did, it must have indicated his need to eat, and they were preparing the food. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. Now, the word trance, it's ecstasis, the Greek word. And it's a state of mind where you know, your attention is absorbed in a particular train of thought, so that the external senses are partially or entirely suspended. So, easiest term we can use is meditation. Meditation when it is devoted to our God, because our God is not one that puts us into a state of lack of control, where anything and everything that's spiritual can take over. That's not it. You know, where you're out, your senses have been diminished, but you are focused on the presence of the Holy Spirit leading us into all truth, guiding us to all truth. So it is a sense of meditation, devotion to the Lord. But the word trance is what is being used here, because it means he is a bit oblivious to what is around him because of his focus on the Lord. And in a sense, it is another principle that is relevant as we go through struggles now. That oblivious doesn't mean ignorant. Oblivious doesn't mean naive. Oblivious means we are focusing on what will make the most difference. And that is in the fullness of God and His revelation, encouragement, affirmation, strength. And at this time when we are looking out just to survive, and we can be so absorbed with just resolving our issues, to go beyond our comfort zone is not possible unless we can come into this quietness, this place where we have a divine transaction, where the frailty and our dirty rags is exchanged for God's beauty and fullness, because we take on the image of Christ. As we conform to His image, we will move from one level of glory to another. Is that possible? The way that's possible is not to strive, but is to yield. And this is an example of Peter yielding. Even his own senses, his understanding, not depending on his own understanding, letting the Lord speak. Instead of us trying to resolve issues of discussion and controversy and predictions and trials and tribulations and all sorts of chat information on the internet, that now we are quite overwhelmed by the kind of frustration and distress the world is expressing and all the conspiracy theories that come along with it. It is to pull ourselves away from that. So he saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. This is an example for him to see that this is a word from God, because it was descending from heaven. The four sheets, the sheet with the four corners is a symbolic, very symbolic, of all nations, of all people. Okay, so that's the symbolism a Jew would see in that. And that is how God revealed himself. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals as well as reptiles and birds, which, of course, in Leviticus chapter 11 is forbidden. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." So his Jewishness is still there. It did not change, and neither did he understand fully. He had come into a place of confusion, just like many of us might be in our present situations. Place of confusion while he is listening to God. So there are things that God can challenge us with that would be very against what we feel we are ready or able or willing to do. Or even challenge maybe what we are some of our Christian culture thinks that we will feel is acceptable or not acceptable, okay, which might include reaching out to people that you wouldn't otherwise have even talked to. Okay, it might be language barrier, might be cultural barrier, might be income barrier, might be hygiene issue, it might be risk, you know, and you've never really reached out to the sweeper, you never really reached out to your colleague who is obviously anti-Christian, you might not have reached out to your neighbor who's living next to you, your classmate, your campus mates, because they're so blatant and vulgar. You know, these people that we would find, you know, we might feel we will be influenced by them, and or we would be seen in the company of tax collectors and prostitutes. That's an example. And Christ is an example of actually going beyond the comfort zone, because he was accused of sitting with the sinners. So this aspect of being the light and the salt comes in into this. So I hope that helps you understand what's going through and how it relates to us. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I've never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time. "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This is the Lord declaring the fullness of the cross, that is a completed work, that there is nothing for you to do to clean them, nothing for you to determine, to decide who is acceptable and who's not. It is also symbolically telling him through those words that the law, the customary law, the things that made Jews unique, including circumcision, is no more to be a hold. It is no more, it is a passing away into the revelation of Christ through the word. And this transition is difficult for Peter, who was a Jew from birth. It is even harder for Paul, who was a Pharisee, who was educated and trained. And these are the two people that God used. This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. Three times. What does it tell you? Peter is a man of threes, isn't it? Three denials. John chapter 21, feed my sheep three times. Now he gets a vision for the Gentiles also three times. So what does the three times signify? Okay, first one was his impetuousness and the Lord humbling him. Second one was restoration. The third one was going beyond who he is, okay, into fullness of God. So there's three stages there. Why was Peter chosen? Because the Lord had promised to him that the keys of the kingdom will be first given to him. So Paul didn't, even though he was an apostle to the Gentiles, you know, even at his conversion, he was very clear, Peter was given this privilege. He was the one. Even though at this point, he doesn't look very enthusiastic. He needed it done three times. So I want to share about this with a story of also struggle I've had on the field. Okay, and I hope this encourages you to see that God is beyond our limitations. God is beyond our understanding. God is beyond what we think we can figure or resolve with our own abilities. Maybe as a church, maybe as individuals, we have certain abilities. Those are honored by him. The Lord uses it, blesses and guides us in the programs and purposes, like even this beautiful video you have done of many language groups you all are impacting. But he can go beyond our comfort zone, beyond our wildest dreams. Or, like scripture says, do more than we can think or imagine. I hope this story helps you, where I learned about how he goes and does more than we can think or imagine. Now, if you can go to the next slide, this lady, she's actually one of the few families that don't live in the villages, even though our villages are remote in the middle of the mountains in Daga in Papua New Guinea that we were doing a translation in. She doesn't even stay in the village. There are families there that go into the jungle 2 or 3 days and the path gets overgrown. They live totally self-sufficient. Okay, they live with their children, they live with their pigs, they plant their yams. They don't get viruses. They don't get ill because they don't make any contact with the outside, not even with their kinship. They come out only once in a while when they want to. Okay, I think, wait, don't show this picture yet. And what happened was that she had a son that became very ill. And he all her sons have a certain disease. At a certain age, they start to wither and they don't eat and they die. She has two daughters that have grown up by a son, so she thought it's a family curse. So because of that, she took her son out of the jungle where they were living, and she came out to the villages, and she heard we were there. So she heard that we pray. So she brought the child to us. And when she brought the child to us, we were in a quandary. She's not a Christian. Do we pray? If we say we don't pray, they'll say Christians don't love, are not loving. Okay? I noticed that her child had a band of shells. That means she has gone, before she came to us, to her in-laws, where the sorcerers had done something to heal the boy. Okay? So if we prayed, if the child died, they'll say because she brought him to us. If we prayed and the child got healed, they will say the sorcerer's ritual healed the boy. So it's a no-win for us. So we were in a quandary. We don't have the answer. We don't know how to reach out to this lady that, you know, comes from the jungle. We don't have Christians who can visit her because she's too far remote. And the Lord told us to just share the gospel with her. And this is not a formula. In this situation, we normally just pray for those who need prayer. In this situation, we told her, why not you come to know the Lord? Let us tell you who Jesus is so that you can bless your son. Even if he dies with your blessing. And why not, if you come to know the Lord, you can bless your two daughters who are alive so that they will know the goodness of God. So we shared the gospel and we waited. She thought through it for a long time and she said yes. And we're very thankful because she said no, would we have still prayed? We don't know. We're just thankful she said yes. We prayed for her, she received the Lord. After she received the Lord, we told her, okay, we'll pray with you for your son and we'll pray with you for your daughters. But before we pray with your son, is it possible you take the shells off? That is at risk of death. Because it's her in-laws, if they know she took the shells off, the same sorceress will be able to curse her. Okay, so it is not an easy situation for her to go beyond her comfort zone. And I'm not sure how she sensed the peace to do that, because we weren't helping. We don't know enough of the culture and the consequences. Neither can we do counter magic to tell her, oh, I do more powerful sorcery, you'll be protected, you take it off. We couldn't assure her of that. We have nothing to assure her. We have nothing to offer her. We just asked her. And we were stuck. If she didn't take it off, would we still pray for the child? Since we made it conditional. So this is, we yielded to the Lord. This is what we heard. It's baffling to us. But we lean our own understanding. We will go into fear, you know, and go into paralysis. Okay, that's what happens when we're leaning on our own understanding for the pandemic and the understanding of even scientists who can't answer, because these are the birth pains of the end times, that these things are going to continue to humble humanity. But we should be in a place where Peter was, in meditation before the Lord. Regardless of what the Lord tells us that is beyond our comfort zone, we sometimes need to share it. And that's what we did. We shared it. It's a big risk. I can tell you this. It's a no-win. She decided to take the shells off. We prayed with her for the son, for the daughters, for them. She went off into the jungle. Months later, we heard the boys started to recover. Now, 2 years later, I was invited to share, to preach in a church over the mountains, in about 3-4 hour hike. To another valley in another village. And while I was hiking over, I felt the Lord asked me to share her testimony, this testimony, at that church. When I went there and I started to preach, there's this lady, even before I talk about the story, stood up. And I was so irritated because she's distracting. Everybody's on the floor, no, not even in the chair. And I was thinking, what's wrong with her? Maybe mental case. Okay? And she kept standing up and I was, you know, so distracting. And then when I talked about her and I talked about the boy, she lifted a boy up. Then I realized it's her. She had come. And we talked to her. And know what she said? She said, the Holy Spirit told me. Because I had this struggle with the Lord. She came to know the Lord. She go back to the jungle. She's illiterate. She don't have a copy of the Bible. We haven't completed it. She doesn't know how to read or write. There's no Christians who will visit her. Nobody can find her. How is she ever going to grow the Lord? She's going to go back to paganism. What is the use of all the time we took to pray with her? That was my issue, you know, my own understanding. But I decided to yield and continue to commit her in prayer, not allow these things to hinder the way I trust and see God for who He is, yielding to who He really is, how great He is, releases, gives space for God to reveal himself instead of holding to our own understanding. So this was what happened. She said the Holy Spirit told her to come to this village this Sunday because I was going to share this story. And you know, nobody knew I was going to share this story. Not even my wife. Only the Lord. So this is to encourage us that it is not only in Acts 10 that God helps us to go beyond our comfort zone. And of course, we are not going to see a vision of a cloth coming down. It's going to be unique to us because the Holy Spirit is at work, who's revealing the fullness of the Father to us. And as we yield to Him, rather than strive to go beyond our comfort zone, which is very hard, when we yield to Him, God takes over and He works miracles. So let's look at the last passage here in Acts 10, 9 to 16. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, three men are looking for you." This passage, you'll see, after three times again, you know, feed my sheep. He's supposed to feed not just the Jewish sheep, right? He's supposed to feed all sheep. So these three times is actually matching John chapter 21. The sheep is supposed to share, include these animals in this sheet, which are forbidden. That is God's message to Peter. Okay, but you notice, while Peter was wondering, he's still not there yet, you know, and I don't blame him, about the meaning of the vision. He couldn't figure it out because it's too soon, too sudden. Even though it's three times, it's against who he is as a Jew. His identity is at stake. Okay? Where Simon's house was not stopped at the gate. Okay, so here is the men sent by Cornelius arrive. So this is where we need to understand. Even as we yield to the Lord, it doesn't mean we yield with a super spiritualism. We yield to the Lord and we can have a debate with him, like what Peter was having, like Habakkuk had. You see, Habakkuk had the same debate. And yet at the end, even though his questions weren't clarified, he said, even if the fig tree has no grapes, no fruit, and even if the vine has no grapes, I will rejoice. And the word rejoice, the word there is actually a root word from charisma, karito. And the word rejoice, karito, means in a good phrase, delight in grace, God's grace. Because it's not dependent on us. It is free, it is complete, it is overwhelming. But we need to yield. That doesn't mean we put our thought processes in neutral or reverse. It means our thought processes have yielded to hearing his leading and he will make our path straight. So this is what it means. But let's be encouraged by this passage. He is still doubting, okay? Now, what does God do? He confirms, because right at the time when he's still wondering, the three men arrive. God knows how to get through to his sheep. So if you are still wondering, you're struggling with your own emotions, your feelings, you know God is asking you to go beyond your comfort zone. You don't know how to yield, but you can stand before the Lord, wait for him. He will open the door. He will make it clear which and what you need to do when. And it became clear here that Peter was not on his own. On his own wondering, his own imaginations, his own ability to interpret the vision. God already had settled everything for him. These men had started walking, you know, it's 35 miles, so it should be at least, you know, I don't know how fast they walk. Papua New Guinea, you know, my idea of a two-day walk, they do it in half a day. So, you know, but 35 miles, I'll say, is definitely a few hours. It's before he even had the vision, God had already spoken to Cornelius. He had already put in place. He just needed Peter to come to a position of submission and yielding to his leading. And God already had these men at his gate, confirming so that he heard, "Simon, three men are looking for you. Don't be in distress." So whatever we do in terms of reaching out, and we can go to the last slide, seek and overcome prejudices. Okay, the whole idea of us reaching beyond our comfort zone, our response for missions, there are three things I want to share that pull together what we've just talked about. Seek and overcome prejudices. This is not easy. The prejudices could be people who you think are doing better than you. Prejudices could be people that you think aren't as friendly to you as you should. They should be. Or when you smile and greet them and they look away, maybe they have racial prejudice against you, and therefore we then have racial, you know, Black Lives Matter. You know, I look at it. Okay, we won't talk about that. You know, I'll take a half an hour just to try to understand all the reactions to such a campaign. It's just a campaign. Man doesn't have the answer. You notice? It gets worse. You know, people can jump on and do rioting in the name of Black Lives Matter. See, they can paint the big message on the road just to spite Trump, you see. But it makes no sense. The inner workings and transformation come through the work of the Holy Spirit, not through manipulation campaigns. There's been no such change that has really taken place. So when we understand that and we bring our request to the Lord through supplication, thanksgiving, His peace that passes all understanding will anchor us. And when He anchors us at that place, we will understand, maybe not everything, but we'll understand that His peace is with us and He's with us. And we understand that He will undertake. He already has sent the men to Peter. Okay? So seek and overcome these prejudices, fears, inadequacies. Prejudices doesn't mean just racial. Okay, it could be anything that would hinder us from seeing how great God is in the situation and relationships that we have. People, you know, neighbors, student mates, you know, friends, colleagues, enemies, ethnic groups. Maybe you don't like their smell, you don't like the way they speak, maybe their language is something you don't like to hear, that type of talking. Maybe they speak too loud when they are eating and you can't hear yourself. You know, there's so many things, if you think through, that we react to that we're not comfortable with. That doesn't mean we don't be ourselves. You know, Peter continued to be himself. In fact, you find later in the epistles, he's still identity of being a Jew. You know, he struggled with Paul on this, and Paul took him to account. But God didn't, you know, exclude him from ministry. You notice? So God's grace is so amazing, but we must understand what our prejudice is, yield them to the Lord, not try to overcome them with our strength. Then God's nature and His compassion take over. Then you suddenly accept, I've got people who have been against me for various misunderstandings that I couldn't clarify, became an issue to such an extent that church politics got involved. I had to step aside, I resigned. Okay? These same people that I felt I had a prejudice because they didn't try to understand, and they, you know, to me lah, you know, which is only one side of the story, so you can't just hold to my side. You need to hear the other side. And you know, the Lord would lead that person to me, and because I question myself, I pray for the person, do I still have anger? Do I still have bitterness against the person? Am I still, you know, prejudiced about the situation? And this person happened to come out of the lift in my work building because his wife goes to see some other medical practice in a different floor. He came out of the wrong floor. I happened to be standing there. My first reaction was to put out my hand and say, "Hi, Joseph, you know, bless you." Then I realized he's not supposed to be my friend. And he couldn't help it. He also put his hand out and said, "Hi, Daniel." And then he realized, oh, we're supposed to be enemies. I continued talking, but he turned away and walked off. Later on at another big meeting, the Lord must have helped him because he then looked for me at the wedding. And we talked as though we have never had any issue between us. You see this? Yielding to the Lord. Even my own feelings, I am not sure. But second, you know, my first reaction, the fact that I had this first reaction blessed me a lot. Because I was always still wondering, you know, I can say it in my voice to others, or I've forgiven him, you know, I hope he forgives me, etc. and everything. But this is the real change. It's not from the behavior. It is when we yield, and it's the Spirit of God that transforms. Are we willing to do that? Expect His leading when that happens. This, I consider my encounter at the lift, a leading from the Lord, day by day. Okay? Expecting God to do things. And suddenly, you meet the person that you thought you might never get to meet or don't want to meet even. And the Lord gives you the right word, opportunity to bless the person, to reach out. Maybe ask them about their struggle too. to tell them you're going to pray for them, even if they are maybe neighbors. They're not you know what I mean, my neighbors, I trust. You see, so reach out to bless despite COVID. COVID has made us all very self-centered because it's an issue of survival, emotional, you know, home isolation. There's been a lot of family violence, divorce, you know. Home isolation creates a lot of issues for depression, anxiety. Okay, it could be that. It could be the fact that you can't go study anymore, you know, because you can't fly over your scholarship or your studies are now stuck, or you are studying but you don't know how to continue, or you're finished and you can't find a job, you know, because there is no jobs out there. So there could be so many, and you might be the parent worrying for your children, you know, and you are comparing with others who somehow managed to get other options or have jobs because, you know, they're not affected as much. So this COVID thing can really make us very self-centered, very focused on our survival. And my challenge to us as the church, the salt and the light, is this is the time where we get to rise up. But we can't do it. We can't do it if we strive to do it with our strength. It's through yielding. As an individual, as a cell group, as a Bible study group, as a church, can we come and yield to the Lord and understand how to overcome such barriers and go beyond our comfort zone for the goodness and purpose God has for us? So let's pray. Father, we just praise you for this word. We thank you for Peter, for who he is, how he changed. We thank you for Cornelius, that he was willing to respond, even though he's never had an angel visit him. We thank you, Lord, for the three men who went, not even knowing if they can find this man, Peter. And we thank you that Peter, though he was wandering, he did not do what Jonah did, but he rather responded, and you had the men at his gate, so that he knew that you will confirm the way, that it is you who guides, and that he can trust in you. So we pray that our life will emulate this, Father, in terms of seeking to overcome prejudices, not in our strength, yielding them to you, to expect your leading day to day, that we will look out for how you're going to make things come about so that we can go beyond our comfort zone. And also, Lord, that we have an attitude to bless, regardless if we get to speak to them or not. As we see people, hear people, read about situations, we turn it to prayer. Prayer for you, Lord, to work and transform. And if we be that channel to bless that particular situation, we thank you. If not, Lord, you will bring the resources and the right people to touch and transform. And as we do this, as we go beyond our comfort zone, as we yield to be prayerful to bless others, you will change us. So like Peter, we're no more impetuous, and Father, so concerned about proving our spirituality or being a good Christian, but rather he is such a different person, seeking and looking for revelation and your leading in his life. And Lord, reaching out to even the Gentiles, even a centurion, even a commander of the Italian forces, and somebody who's not circumcised, and yet he went willingly, and Lord, he was blessed. I believe you too will be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen.